This morning's public reading from God's Word is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. So please take your Bibles and join with me and those of us who are here with you to Luke 15. I'm going to read just the first 10 verses here this morning. 10 verses. I like to break it down into these short readings so we can spend time looking at a particular context, a particular story, maybe a certain message that Jesus gave, or a parable, or an incident that occurred in his public ministry. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either that woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she shall lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she had found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I have lost. Likewise I say unto you, there shall be joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Now, Luke chapter 15, for the average Christian who attends church quite regularly and quite consistently, maybe beginning off as a youngster in a Sunday school room, will be quite familiar with Luke chapter 15. I would say it's one of the most familiar chapters in Luke's gospel. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and in next week's reading, the lost son. Okay, three things that are lost: a little sheep, a coin, and a son. Now, I'll put this on the table right up front. In the first two examples, the lost sheep and the lost coin, notice it is the shepherd seeking the sheep that's lost, and it's the woman seeking the coin that she lost. But in the third parable, the lost son, okay, we find the human side of this mystery between the sovereignty of God and his election, and human responsibility and man's command to repent and believe the gospel. In the first two parables here, God is pictured as the shepherd seeking the lost sheep and the woman who seeks the lost coin. Notice, God is the one who initiates salvation. God is the one who initiates rescue and deliverance. The third parable, the lost son, focuses on the man, or the human side of that mysterious equation between God's election before time began and human responsibility in responding to the gospel. And only the God of the Bible can weave those two together into one coin, if you will. But notice verses 1 and 2. What kind of precipitates, what leads to these three parables? Well, then drew near unto Jesus all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. Notice the segment of society that was responding to Jesus wholeheartedly: publicans and sinners. Today, I would use the use the word riffraff, the gutter rats, okay? Those on addiction of all kinds. Women of the night, okay? The man who cannot control his drink, or the one who shoots up too often in the course of a given week. We're talking about the dingy people. People that the rich and famous, Hollywood types, political types, those even in high church office who don't want to get their robes dirty by touching fallen humanity. Notice they are the ones that gave Jesus an audience. They seem to be seeking out Jesus. In this situation, Jesus is not out seeking them, but they're, notice, they drew near unto him. But notice in verse 2, the response by the religious crowd, the Pharisees and the scribes, they mumbled and groaned just like some people in church. We've had some even here in our 16 years, grumbled and moaning under their breath as if I was too deaf to hear, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and he even eats with them." Now, to a Pharisee, to a Sadducee, to a scribe and a lawyer in first century Roman Empire, that was ceremoniously unclean business. You stayed away from such filth. You distance yourself from the aroma of body odor or maybe urine on someone's clothes. You walked across the street because you didn't want to be contaminated by such people. But notice, Jesus allowed them to draw near to him. Now that's the Savior of the Bible. So that's the setting. So Jesus now takes the opportunity to give the Pharisees and scribes three stories. And you got to also remember who else is listening in this dinner, in this festive time. The publicans and the sinners. So Jesus is addressing everybody, a good shotgun sermon. He's going to touch everyone in the room. He talks about the shepherd who loses a sheep. And notice, lost sheep don't look for the shepherd. Okay? It is the shepherd who goes out to find the sheep who has wandered from the fold. And again, that's a picture of God the Father, who takes always the initiative in saving souls. If God never took the initiative, nobody would ever be saved. No one. You could have mustered all the free will you wanted. You would have not come because you would not want to come, because there was no appetite in you to come to God. God must make the first move in order for the sinner to move. God takes the initiative. And when he found the sheep, what does he do? He calls his neighbors to have what? A time of feasting and festival. A time of rejoicing. Then he talks about this woman in verses 8 to 10. And what I have read and heard is that when a woman was married, one of the gifts that was given to her was a series of gold coins that had a hole in the center of the coin. And then she would string these coins together, maybe in some type of a woolen string or some type of a leather thong or something. Today we would probably use one of those little clips where you have to, like on your keychain, you press it back and then you put the keys in and then it snaps back and then it's secure. The thing on your keychain. Think of something like that. Well, apparently she loses one of these. This was like part of her dowry. And boy, if the husband came home and she had to give him the bad news that one of these coins was missing. Beloved, those coins were for her in the event of her husband's passing. That was her insurance policy. That's why she does everything in her power to find the coin. She moves the furniture, she takes her broom, and she's out there in a mad dash to find that coin and to restore it with the other ones. And again, a lost coin is not running around the floor saying, "Here am I, pick me up." No, it's the woman, again, in the playing out the the role of God the Father as the one who initiates salvation. God must make the first move. God is the one who seeks us. We don't seek him. Read Romans chapter 3. None seek after him. We hate God in our fallen nature. God is the one who's odious to us. We don't relish him. So he must come and seek us out, my dear friends. And then when she finds the coin, what does she do? Hey, come and rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin. So you got the lost sheep, lost coin. The shepherd finds the sheep and the woman got to recover her coin. Picture of salvation. Notice, two against one, two on the side of the God side of the coin. But then we got the God, then we have the lost son that finishes the coin with the human side of that transaction. How the lost son finally comes to reason. He comes to his senses. He's in a pigsty as a Jew. Very, very unclean situation. And what does the Bible say? When he came to his mind, as we shall read, something happens up in his noodle. He begins to think. And that thinking leads to him getting up and doing something about it. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.